Let's pray as we open God's Word together. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. We thank you for the victories that you have won. As we open your Word today, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would point us forward to what you have prepared. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to just make sure all of you who have been at Vacation Bible School are paying attention right now. Because we've had a tradition at Vacation Bible School this past week that we're going to continue and we're going to let the rest of you catch on and participate as we do this. Are you ready? God is mighty. Fear not. God's word is true and powerful. Jesus comes to save. And Jesus is our Savior and King. So can you guess what the theme was at Vacation Bible School? The victory is won. I'm so thankful that we know that the victory is won. As we've been looking at our Bibles this past week, and as we look at them today, we realize, you know, we can have amazing pictures of castles and kings and kingdoms on this earth. But as you really try to picture the ultimate castle, the ultimate kingdom and the ultimate king, we open our Bibles and we suddenly realize that our own human ideas just aren't adequate as we see what God has prepared for us who love Him. As I realized as I was reading all about this, you know, we can think of castles and kings and queens. But if you really want the ultimate picture, picture a wedding. And you start having these pictures where you have this queen that is marrying this king and is becoming part of this royalty. I came to Revelation chapter 19, and it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." As we catch a quick context of this story, the rejoicing is in the context of the previous chapter where we discover that in the book of Revelation, there are many times where we have two of something. And there are also two cities in the book of Revelation. One city is the city of Babylon that is described as fighting against the people of God and seeking to destroy them. And as we come to this point in the book of Revelation, that city has been reduced to rubble. The rebel kingdom has been conquered and destroyed. And once that city is gone, suddenly Scripture changes our focus to a new city. I'd invite you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. It's one of those interesting twists in Scripture. As we've seen this introduction, it says the Lamb is ready and His bride is ready. And suddenly Scripture points us to the bride. And first of all, it says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." And we realize it's not only a new world, it's a new universe. "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And so instead of the bride that we expected to see, we see a city. And as we look at this city, we realize it's unlike anything we've ever seen before. John goes on, he says, "I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Suddenly we realize that this is a kingdom unlike any kingdom one could find on planet Earth. Because this is a kingdom where there are no more tears. There is no more death. There is no more pain. There's no more sickness. Suddenly, things have changed dramatically. And now we see something like a sea of glass. Revelation 15 talks about this sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints." This is an amazing celebration as we see the holy city. And here in Revelation chapter 21, suddenly we start seeing a description of the city. If you go to Revelation chapter 21 in verse 9, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me and said, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.' He carried me away to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and a high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, on the north, on the south, and on the west." And then it goes on, "The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." And it starts describing this massive, massive city. There are various estimates as to how big this city is. It is about 14,000 miles in each direction. It is a huge fortress. But I'm fascinated by the fact that there are names written all over this city. And we begin to realize that this is not just a fortress. This is not just a fine piece of architecture, although it is very real and very magnificent. The significance of this city is the names that are written on the city. The significance of this city is that this is a monument to what God has done in the lives of people. The walls have names, the gates, the foundations. And we start asking ourselves, what really makes this such a special place? It is fascinating as we read on. In verse 25 of Revelation 21, it says, "Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there will be no night there." Now I want us to start thinking about this. The gates are never shut. Why would a fortress typically have its gates closed? Why would you shut the gates? Keep the bad guys out. You lock your doors because you want to be sure you keep the bad elements out. And suddenly we realize this massive fortress has gates that are standing wide open. What does that mean? It tells us that these massive walls are not there to keep the bad guys out. There's another reason why these walls are so high and so beautiful. And I'm convinced that the reason for that can be found if we look back in Old Testament times and we discover that the people lived in the walls of the city. So why are there such high walls? And why is the city so large? It's because God has prepared places for you and for me in those walls. The reason it's so big is not to keep the enemies out. It's because God has so many children that He's looking forward to having a home with Him, that He has gone to prepare a place for them. There is a song of victory of God's saints. Revelation 11:17. We give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come, because You have taken Your great power and reigned. When we get there, that is going to be the song of the redeemed. Sometimes we wonder, what will heaven be like? That question came to my mind. And I suddenly realized that there's an answer to that question that hasn't been my typical answer. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I've asked what will heaven be like, my focus has been what I would see there. And don't get me wrong, there are amazing things to see. The animals, the picture of little children sliding down giraffes' necks and hugging lions and having absolutely no fear. It's an amazing picture. But as I thought about this, I realized the real answer to what will heaven be like comes in looking at Jesus as He comes and lives on this earth so long ago. What will heaven be like? It will be a place where as we watch Jesus and He loves children, it's going to be a place where children are loved in a way that they could never have been loved before. We watch as Jesus approaches people and there is no difference to Him who they are or what they have. He doesn't care how much money they have. He doesn't care how smart they are. He doesn't care what they look like. He loves them all. If we want to know what heaven will be like, we look at the description of Jesus and how even when He was being crucified, He was pleading for God to forgive these people because He loved them with an unending love. And if that kind of love can be shown in a world like ours, what will it be like as we are in heaven and Jesus walks up to us and we realize that He loves us with a love that we will never fully understand? Imagine walking down the streets of the New Jerusalem and looking into the eyes of the people around you. Now I want you to think about the last time you were walking down the street of Modesto. Did you feel like you were among a group of friends? Or did you tend to just kind of keep your eyes on the sidewalk? Walking down the streets of heaven is going to be an amazing experience. Because every eye you meet, you're going to look in those eyes and you're going to say, this is somebody who is going to be an amazing friend. There's no one there that when you look at them, you'll think, I think I better move to the other side of the sidewalk. Because in heaven, Everything will just be a welcoming. It'll be a family reunion. And the people you don't know today are the people you will know tomorrow. And you will get to know better throughout eternity. Heaven and the new earth will be a very real place. Isaiah 65, they will build houses and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. What a day to look forward to. As Caitlin read our memory verse for us this morning, our key text, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Jesus says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to take you to the day of victory. I'd invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's an amazing day, and we need to remind ourselves of this. We know the text, but is it a reality for us? I want you to look forward in time to the day that we are standing here on this earth and we see a little dark cloud forming in the horizon. And as it gets closer, it gets more brilliant, and we realize that Jesus is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, written to those who had lost loved ones. And for the encouragement of us all, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Imagine being caught up from this earth. Imagine the feeling of looking down and suddenly realizing that your feet are no longer planted on this earth, that a power of gravity is greater than gravity has taken over. And you are rising together with family members, with friends. I can only imagine the feeling as we realize that we have left planet Earth and we look over and we see family and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are safe for eternity. I can only imagine looking over and seeing friends that have been caught up with us in the air and realizing that our friends are safe for eternity. It's going to be such an amazing feeling. We arrive at the New Jerusalem, and we see a structure that is beyond anything we could have ever imagined here on this earth. Jesus gives us our crowns and our harps, and we're part of that orchestra like has never been heard here. And then we are led into the New Jerusalem, and we are led to our homes. And as we walk in, it's like we have finally come home like we had never come home before. Because Jesus has designed that home in a way that is perfect for us individually. And we finally realize, at last, we are home. We are surrounded by friends and potential friends. And we suddenly realize that this is an experience that's going to take a long time to find out who all our friends are. Because there are so many. We walk down those streets and we realize that we have perfect health. There's no more aches. There's no more pains. There's no more sickness. There's no more glasses and no more hearing aids. I figured someone would say amen to that if they heard me. It's a perfect place. It's a wonderful place. And it's a place that only gets better as time goes on. And as we stand there, I have a feeling somebody's going to say, the victory is won. But you know, the good news is today, as much as we look forward to having that victory, the good news is that today, by the grace of God, the victory has been won. Today we can begin living in that victory. Those of you kids and adults who were at Vacation Bible School will recognize the next few texts. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can stand here knowing that we have a God who is so powerful that we have the victory as we claim it in Him. Psalm 46 verse 1 reminds us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We don't stand here on this earth by ourselves. We have a God who stands beside us. We have a God who invites us to look to His sanctuary in heaven and find there the security and the victory and the strength that we need. And as we wonder where we turn, we are reminded that every word of God is true and that He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. We have a good God. And we have a God who says, I am coming quickly. Turn with me if you will. Our final text is Revelation chapter 22. And in Revelation 22, we're looking at verse 12. Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And then in verse 17, we have this invitation extended to you today. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Our response comes in verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And our response is, amen, even so. Come, Lord Jesus. Please remember that in Jesus Christ, the victory is won. In Jesus Christ, we can begin experiencing the joy of heaven today as we walk with Jesus, as we claim His strength, and as we live His victory. I'd like for our song team to come and lead us in this song that reminds us that this is not our final home. There is a mansion just over the hilltop. And very soon, we will be there. There is a place that Jesus has gone to prepare for you. And it is my hope today that you have been reminded that the victory for you is won. You need to claim that victory. You need to make sure that you're not living for this world. We need to make sure that our attachments are not on this earth, but instead, that we are living in the victory that Jesus Christ provides for us. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, thank you so much for the victory that you have won. We thank you that we can look forward to heaven. Thank you that we can look forward to being in your presence and realizing more than we've ever known before how great your love is for us. Today we want to give you our hearts. We want to give you our lives. We accept your victory as our own. And we thank you that we can go out from here in your strength, knowing that the victory is won through you. In Jesus' name, amen.